God is so, so very good. He just is. He just is. And those milestones and the things that He does. And let me tell you something. He is so all wise. He is. He is amazing. Deuteronomy 16 this morning, verse 16, as we're going through the book of Deuteronomy here. And you know what's happening? Moses is giving them final instructions. He's not going to be able to go into the land of promise. He's going to see it from afar. Joshua's going to bring them in. They're right toward the end of the 40 years of wandering. They're getting ready at this point to go in. And Moses is reiterating all the things that he has given them before in the law, just giving them, going back over it one more time before they go in. And in Deuteronomy 16, he's discussing with them the feasts. All right, so verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the blessing we've already received, dear God, in the song, Lord, in the congregational songs, and the special singing, dear God. We just give you thanks, Lord. And Father, help us to always, Lord, let music, dear God, perform its right purpose of helping, dear God, to set the mind and the heart in a calm, reflective mindset, dear God, that we may receive, Lord, truth and understanding, dear God, and be strengthened and convicted as needed, dear God, with your might on the inward man. And Father, instruct us, please, and help us this morning out of your word. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, the Bible says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. All right, now notice, you know, three times a year, there would be basically two of them in the spring, one of them in the fall, when all the males were to appear. So who was to appear? Who was required to appear? All the males. Three times a year, all the males had to appear before the Lord in the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. Take your Bible, go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 23. Exodus 34, verse 23. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. That's interesting. The males, but it's even more specific. All the men children. So it wasn't just the fathers. It wasn't just the patriarchs of the family. All the men children. We would imagine that would encompass, because the females weren't, they didn't have to go. The men did, all the men children. That would probably have encompassed everyone from roughly three up. And we say three up because in the Bible, you seem to get the impression that the three was the limit of the nursing time and when one would be weaned. Again, not saying that it has to be done that way, or if you wean your child earlier, you've not. But in the Bible, it seems to be, because if you'll notice, when Hannah had given Samuel to the Lord, she nursed him. She nursed him till she weaned. He didn't go up to the temple, or to the tabernacle there until he was weaned. And you notice that when she came, she offered three bullocks. Three bullocks were offered there. Probably most likely signifying each one of those years where he had been kept back and was being weaned. And think about it. Any time before that, there would not have been Samuel would have needed care that only a mother could have gave him. By the age of three, he should be weaned. He should, he should be able to piss against the wall, if you will. I mean, seriously. Rather than, you know, going in his diaper or whatever like that. By the age of three, he's able to wear that he can take, and mama don't have to so much look after him. He can go up to that temple, the tabernacle, and be around Eli and that situation there. So it was probably a roughly the age. Because think about it. When David and others threatened to kill everybody, he said, I won't leave one to piss against the wall. Well, what is that? Well, it's a young man who's able to piss against the wall. He's able to, if you will, today go to a urinal rather than going in his diaper. I mean, seriously, I'm just getting down to where it's at so we understand, all right? So about roughly age 3, so on up. All the men children, now I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep that in mind. All the men children were to go up. Women weren't necessarily prohibited from coming. It doesn't say that women couldn't come. It's just that the males were required to do so. They had to come. Males, men, children. This is not hard to figure out. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Now listen, folks, I'm not going to stand up here and discuss the subject that I'm going to discuss and try to make any snide remark or any kind of a funny remark, because it ain't funny. Where we're at today, it's not funny. It's sad. It's heartbreaking sad.
Yes,
sir. In fact, you can't let yourself dwell on it because it'll rob you. All right? It's enough to know what's out there. And it, trust me, it'll hit you enough as it is with different things. But this thing, listen to me. And what's hurt us in our pulpits across this land is too many times in pulpits, these matters that I'm going to discuss have been taken lightly or in a joking matter. And let me tell you something, it's no joking matter with God. Sin is never a joking matter with God. Never. And there have been some, I'm afraid, in our pulpits who took it a little bit too light. They knew it was sin, but they took it in a mocking matter till it hit, I mean, in their house. And they never expected it. There have been some good men, staunch men for the book. And Bud, there were some attitudes I believe some of them have had. A mocking kind of attitude. Brethren, you don't make jokes about sin. Right. And you know what? It's no laughing matter then when it hits home. Right. When it comes in your house, and that's the last thing you would have expected. I'm serious. Brethren, be careful. Don't be careful. As I go on, be careful what you mock or how you treat certain things. You don't want to issue a challenge to the enemy. No. You do not want to issue a challenge to the enemy. And what I'm talking about is, notice all the males were supposed to come up. This shouldn't be hard to figure out, brethren. Males. Males. Without going into any detail and trying to be discreet, you know what makes a male. You know how to tell a male child from a female child. This is not a hard one to figure out. That's just common sense. There it is. The males were required to go up. Now listen to me, and listen to me good. Someone might say, well, what if a little boy wanted to stay home with the girls? Or what if a girl wanted to go with the boys? Listen to me. If that was ever the case, then time was to be taken with that child to explain the different rules that God had established. And this would have helped to distinguish the roles and the responsibilities of one's gender. You understand? Let's suppose, and my goodness, brethren, with a crowd of over 1 million, it wouldn't have been surprising if there had been some little boy that's like, well, I want to stay home with the sisters, or I want to stay home. I mean, seriously, you can imagine. Or I want to stay and play. Or maybe there'd been a little girl. Why can't I go? I wish I was a little boy. I wish I was. You know what you do with that? See what you do with that. First of all, you don't go, what? Don't talk stupid. You're a girl. Or you don't say and say, what, little sissy boy? You don't do that. What you do is you pull that little boy aside and you pull that little girl aside and you say, now, honey, now look, son, daughter, you are a little girl. And son, you are a little boy. Now, you know that, right? You know that you are different. You are a little boy. Now, listen, God, the Creator, the Almighty, God has set up different roles for a young man, a young boy. And you're going to grow up into a young man to be a leader. And God has set up different roles for a young girl. And God, the Creator, has established this. And look, though you may feel that or wish that you could, but this is what you are. And son and daughter, if you ever want to find fulfillment, if you ever want to have any kind of happiness, then you've got to take and be satisfied and fulfill that role that you are. You see, time would have to have been taken with that. Listen, y'all. Because about 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, since you didn't have some of the situations like you're having today, at least definitely not to the extent, it was easy for people to handle it with a snide remark or a sneer or a laughter or whatever like that and think it would all be okay. And they could, because surely it won't ever. Well, here you are. And it's happening in times and places that people would never have imagined it. And I think a lot of it is because the saints fail to handle it right. I don't think it was handled right from the pulpits very often. Brethren, the devil doesn't care which side you go to unbalance on as long as you're unbalanced. Do you understand me? The devil doesn't matter. He doesn't care if you swing to the right or left as long as you're unbalanced. Because unbalance produces the same mess. I've known of individuals whose parents erred with discipline to the extreme side. Oh, they disciplined them all right. They beat the snot out of them in the wrong way. And I've known of children whose parents didn't discipline at all. Results were the same. Results were the same. It produced the same child. Listen. It doesn't matter to the devil if you err to one side or the other. You erred. And that's all that matters. Yes, it was wrong for pulpits to not handle this issue. But brethren, when it was handled though in the wrong way, with jokes or lightheartedness, that's sin. That's sin. This is horrible. And the Bible says that in the book of Corinthians, such were some of you. They got saved. Some of them got saved, glory to God. And I tell you what, they didn't get saved by someone taking it sarcastically or saying something. They got saved by somebody taking time with them and showing the gospel and showing sin and in a firm and in a right manner. And listen, what I'm saying is, look, all those male children were to go up 3 times a year. What if you had, again, a little girl say, I want to go? That's where that mom could not say, huh? What's wrong with you? You don't be a little butch? What's wrong with you? Knock that off. It's not the way to handle it. It's not the way to handle it. It wasn't for that mom. What? What are you trying to do? Knock it off. No, it's time for mom to sit down and say, honey, come here. I want to talk to you. And I'm glad you like to run and jump and play. And I'm glad you like to do things. And I'm glad. That's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm glad. But honey, you're a little girl. I want to be a little girl. And look, I've known of girls. I knew a young Christian girl one time. And her attitude was, I don't want to grow up. I want to be a little girl. I mean, sometimes kids don't want to grow up. Sometimes they wish they were. And both the little girls said, I want to be a little girl. Well, honey, you are. Now, you are. And God, that's how God has made you. And you are. And God has a role for you. And honey, if you don't fulfill that and be the girl that God wants you to be, you're going to be miserable. And if you even tried to change things around and dress like a boy, or if you tried to, God in heaven forbid, they could probably never imagine it, but get surgeries and change, that's not what you are. And inside you will still be miserable. You will be frustrated. You will be miserable. It'll get worse and worse inside of you. Honey, this is what you are. And you need to learn to be what you are. Little boy says, but my sisters aren't going. I want to stay with the sisters. Now look. That's hard, man. We were somewhere the other day. And there was a boy, God bless him, God help him. He was definitely effeminate. I don't know if he was a sodomite, but he was effeminate. And it's just sad, right? And naturally, my reaction is like, it just about turns your stomach. It's revolting to one. It's hard because it's unclean. It's unclean. And there's something demonic about that that gets that stuff. But you know what? That young man needed somebody to help him. Right. To help him. So what's that little boy says, Daddy, I want to stay here with the girls. Well, first of all, there'll be a wake-up call to Dad. Right. That he got that far. But then Daddy needs to pull him aside and say, Son, now you're a boy, aren't you? You're different than your sisters, aren't you? Yes, sir. Well, son, you're a boy. And God's got a role for young boys to become young men. And there's a way he wants you to be. And son, if you're going to have any kind of joy or any kind of fulfillment to being what you're supposed to be, then you've got to be that young man God meant for you to be, son. Do you understand? Say, and talk to him. Listen, I worked with a fella in the military, and he, great guy. And he was just as much of a man's man as anybody around, and I loved being around him. He was a good worker. He's from Pennsylvania. You guys from Pennsylvania, so he was good. He's out of work on it, guy. He was from Pennsylvania, a wonderful fella up near where Brother Wayne Fair grew up. But you know what he told me one time? He said, Brother Dawsey, you know what? He said, if it wasn't for my brother-in-law, I don't know what would happen to me. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you know, he goes, I guess his dad went around, his dad had left, and his sister's right. He goes, I was on the way to growing up to be an A number one sissy. He goes, pretty bad. He said, but my brother-in-law took me under his wing, and he really helped me. Now, I'm talking about salvation. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
This not, but just a brother-in-law who took him under his wing, didn't berate him, didn't ridicule him, loved him and helped him. And helped him to be an outstanding young man. He did really good in the Air Force. He's a fine young man. Had wife and family and kids and did good. But somebody took him under the wing and helped him.
Amen.
Listen. We're in a confusing time. We're in a horribly confusing time. You can go under the knife, and I guess they can do all kind of things. And yes, if the Lord abides within you, it does produce a holy disgust. It does. But you're only going to be able to help somebody if you run across that in taking time with them, showing them the scriptures, and trying to patiently work with and show. I didn't say compromise. I didn't say back up 1 minute. You call sin, sin. But you do it in a way that's right to help recover that person, bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and see what they are and understand what you're really dealing with are demonic powers. I'm going to tell you that right now. You count on that. So what was to be done? The time, if a little Jewish boy, a little Jewish girl, Hebrew boy or girl had said, but I don't want to do that, then time was to be taken to explain the different roles. You're a girl. This is how you're to be. You're a boy. This is how you're to be. Folks, what if someone wanted to be a lion and an eagle? Listen, what you may foolishly want and what you are may be two totally different things. You don't indulge wrong feelings and desires, you correct them.
Right. That's exactly right.
You don't indulge wrong feelings and desires, you correct them. But lost work and some of this stuff, listen. All the different ways that this stuff falls out. You can't figure it all out. It's demonic. The day and hour we live in, there's all kind of things. You understand? But be it known this, God did not make someone that way. He made a boy to be a boy and a girl to be a girl. God did not impart sodomite tendencies or perverse tendencies. You understand that? And we got to establish that from the word go. And someone needs to be, they need to know that. They need to understand that. God didn't make them that way. Look in the Bible, a witch, a sodomite were punishable in the Old Testament by death. God never punished you for something you couldn't help. If you were born crook-backed or a flat nose or had something superfluous in your flesh, then you couldn't partake of certain things in the temple. But God never had you, it didn't mean that you were cast away. It didn't mean you couldn't love God. It didn't mean you couldn't serve God. There were just certain things because you couldn't have no blemish in certain things that you served God. But God never punished you for something you were born with. But a person choosing sodomy, they were put to death. A person choosing adultery, when caught, were put to death. A person choosing witchcraft, see, those are choices. Well, an inclination, listen. There can be all kinds of inclinations someone may have, especially in the day and hour we're in now. Someone exposed to something, someone molested or messed with, or some, who knows what, there may be, and the devil gets in that thing. But listen, you don't indulge a passion or a desire or a tendency. You don't indulge that thing that goes against the Word of God. It's to be corrected. And God can give victory. That thing gets demonic. As far as figuring that kind of thing out, and I'll just say this real quick and we'll move on. Brethren, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ one time, there was a boy brought to him. Just to help you understand how some of this stuff works. There was a boy brought to the Lord Jesus, and that boy was so full of devils that them devils were trying to drive him to throw himself into the fire and throw himself in water to destroy him. And he was just, he was ate up. And the disciples couldn't cast him out. Their faith and probably with some praying and fasting going on, they brought him to Jesus. But before Jesus cast those devils out, he asked that boy's daddy. He said, "How long is it ago since this came into him?" And that daddy said, "Of a child. Of a child." Now listen, devil possession, devil worship in the Bible was punishable by death. Devil possession needed healing. Do you understand that? You've got to distinguish between the two. I'm not saying that devil worshiping people can't get possessed. Of course they can. But so often, brethren, very often people got possessed not because of any ungodly thing that was being done. In the Bible, it needed healing. Go through your scriptures and look. Look at our New Testament. It needed healing. Jesus said, the Father told the Lord that happened to that boy of a child. Of a child. Now, what could that boy got into? Listen to me. Viruses, bacteria, and parasites all need a host. Devils are likened to that. One of the ways that you can draw a parallel to understand how this stuff works is, listen, devils need a host. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walketh through what? Dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he returneth that. They need a host. They petitioned the Lord to leave that man and they went into those hogs. They need a host. As do viruses, as do bacteria, as do parasites. People are different. I've known Phil Renenko going on close to about 30-some years. 27. I think I've known you to have a stomach virus one time. I really believe about one time. Vonda, I can't count times you got it. Honestly, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? It's a different system. Different system. Systems are different. One's more susceptible to that than the others. Haven't you ever seen children that are more susceptible to certain bugs or certain things? You ever seen kids that'll catch up certain things and others don't? People are different.
Sure.
In the emotional, mental, and spiritual makeup of individuals, it's the same thing. Do you understand? You can have kids brought up in the same household. One is more susceptible to certain demonic attacks than others. It's not that the training's any different how they're brought up. It's that the individual, there's differences there. And these powers of darkness know how to work and they know how to take and the word escapes me right now that I want to use, but they know how to work the thing around for this different personality, for the different thing. They know how to do that thing. So here's a boy as a child, this thing come upon him. He needed healing and the Lord brought it to him. So sometimes, brethren, you're going to have individuals. You're going to have maybe in a home. I said, I don't understand. This one was brought up this way. They was brought up the same way. Personalities are different. Different things are different. Just like with viruses and bacteria and such as that, one person may be more susceptible because of their makeup. The same thing happens emotionally, spiritually, the whole kind of thing across the board. What's needed then is to understand what's going on and get direction and help from the scriptures for recovery. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And you can apply that, save, loss, in all kinds of ways, seriously. And well, the big thing is having patience, firmness, and with the Word of God. So look, you had an individual, a situation like that, time was to be taken. Well, I have this tendency. Well, it's not coming from God. It's not coming from God. And since it's not coming from God, and it's not according to Scripture, don't yield to that. Ask God to give you deliverance from it. Come to Christ. Look to the Lord. Don't yield to that and let that thing build stronger and stronger. Seriously. All the male children were to come. But what if you had one who wants to stay home? I don't want to go. I want to be with you. Need to be corrected. Need to be instructed. son, you're going to come along. And you're going to go along and time taken and instruction and guidance and direction and affirmation that God didn't make you that way. And that's not what God wants. This is coming from another spirit. And we're going to fight that thing. And you don't yield to that thing. And you don't. Seriously. If a boy coming up in a lost home had a brother-in-law that could take him under his wing and help him turn him from going down a bad road without it, then surely the saints of God should be able to help folks and take the time with patience and the Word of God and spiritual help to help folks to recover. I mean, Chris, you told me some of the things. Great, goodness alive. That man needs some wisdom. Brother Brad and the juvenile centers and up there, they need wisdom. Some of the stuff Brother Chris has told me, he needs wisdom, grace, guidance, and help and direction. I'm serious. Because where we're at today, just crawling with devils. Just crawling with it. And wisdom and guidance is needed in helping so that they can get deliverance in Jesus Christ. And one of the ways we need to pray for these men is we need to pray that God would bind the powers of darkness and that are keeping these boys and these girls blinded and would bless the truth that they're given. Man, we need to fight on their behalf in our prayers. So anyway, look here. Listen, again, someone may say, well, I want to be an eagle. I want to be... Well, listen. And listen, if you think that that's a lighthearted thing, I'm saying it's not. It's wide open today. It is wide open. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I said, once that door gets open, what if somebody said, well, I like two-year-olds, which I don't like to say it. But I was saying, well, lo and behold, brethren, look here, did you know? I mentioned that, and I'll be that very week. It was put across my path. There were some individuals now pushing for legalization for relations with children. Because they say it's my right and they should be allowed to choose. Brethren, and this is going on with the church here. With the church here. Brethren, when we go out, when the church goes out, the brakes are off. The brakes are off. Now listen, here's what this would do. By all those male children going up, it would help those males understand their roles as leaders, especially as leaders in service and worship of God. Because they were going up to worship the Lord. So when they went up with their daddies, when all the men children went up, they would learn to worship God. They would watch their fathers and they would learn how to worship God, how to honor Him, how to give sacrifice to Him. They would learn this. They would watch this. They would learn this. All right? They'd follow that example. This was not a getaway time for sports and play, but a time for males to come as a group to worship the Lord. You understand? Not talking about Promise Keeper stuff, no sir. Not on that stuff, the worldly stuff. We're not talking about that stuff. We're not talking about just a getaway. No, we're talking about these were three times a year, all the males, all the men, children went up to worship the Lord. And it was a time. You know what it gave time for? It gave a time for mama and the girls at home. Mama could take the girls at the house and explain why all the males left, because males and females are different, which they know, but the different roles. And mama could take that special time with those girls and discuss some things. And dad could discuss it with those boys as they go on this journey for the respective roles. Again, it would help females understand their roles and responsibilities as submissive keepers at home. Why am I going to go? As little Hezekiah, he gets to go. Now, Elisheva, no. Shh, you, no, we don't go up. Well, Hezekiah gets to go. Stay here. You know, it's going to be a good time to where she can say, honey, look, yes, he goes up because you know what? He's a young boy and someday he's going to be a leader and he's also going to fight battles and he's also going to be the one held accountable for his home someday. And little Elisheva, you don't want the responsibilities he's got on him. You've got your own. And to help make this home and to help make it. Well, I don't like it. Well, sweetheart, I understand. But now like it or whatever, you're going to do it. So there comes that moment if they're continuing to be stubborn about it, you got to say, well, honey, okay, you'll understand someday. But I guess till you do, you're going to be right here and you're going to do what I told you, okay? Love you. Now, go make that bread before I whoop you on in. I'm just being honest. I mean, seriously. Well, I'm saying, in the sense of, look, you take that time, but then it has to be told also, that, honey, look here. Now, look here. This is you've got to do this. And you take that time there. All right, look here. Take your Bible. Go to Titus 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So look, those are things that have to do with the different roles and responsibilities. And you know what? While those men would go up and the ladies were there, they could take that time. The grandmas, the aunts, the moms, take that time to go over with the different roles, the different responsibilities. As the boys and the men were going up, they could discuss the roles that a young man was supposed to have towards serving God, toward worshiping the Lord. Because that's what mattered. I know all the phrases, you know, the male bond and this and that, whatever. No, it's not. This wasn't a time that they went together just to go have a sport. And I'm not saying if you took your boys to watch some sport event, as long as it wasn't something unclean and wrong going on. I'm not saying it's wrong to do. I'm saying the emphasis here, though, was put on worshiping the Lord, on those kind of things. Look, take your Bible. Go to 1 Timothy 3. They were to assemble in the place of God's choosing. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Look, assemble with them in church, in the things of God, not just in carnal things. There are some things. Look, if a man took his boy to watch something, a sporting event, that as long as it was not a wrong thing, a clean thing, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But listen, but most importantly, around the things of God. We send messages in the places we choose to assemble and how we assemble. They are going to get excited and interested in what we are excited and interested in. I mean, seriously, they were. Look. If guys, I'm not saying at all. If you took the boys to go watch a baseball game or something like that, or something that was okay, but if they watched you going, I mean, just having a fit, but yet staying stoic around the things of God, you know what they're going to say? What's really in Daddy's heart, what Daddy really gets excited about are those things. The things of the Lord are just duty. You just kind of do them. It's just kind of the thing you do. They'll get the message. They'll get the message. They'll understand. They will get excited. They will get interested in what we are excited and interested about. And those three times a year, you left and all the men children went up and Dad showed them how to do it. How to worship God. How to take and sacrifice. How to offer. Dad's led the way in it. Girls, and look at just taking the trip. Look what it did by just taking the trip. It was understood by these children, boys and girls are different. They're not just different anatomically, they're different in roles. Even without anything said, wow, the girls stay here, the boys go up with the dad. Wow. It's just in the very act, an understanding is given. Wow, the men lead. They lead in the things of God. The girls stay here behind him. Look what that would do. That means a boy coming up would automatically know. Males lead in worship of God. Males lead in worship of God. Mama don't find the place to go, we're going to go to church at. Mama don't set the time. Males lead in this. They lead in this. Just going through that, it would be understood. Notice what it says next. Look what it says. Go back to Deuteronomy 16. Says verse 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So check that out. As they're going up, as the men and the young boys, the men children are going up, they couldn't appear empty. They had to take an offering with them. You see, the Lord was to be honored with an offering. Teach your families, especially your sons, the importance of honoring the Lord with an offering from the heart. Amen. One thing I got young from my parents was, right? You honored God. You honored God with an offering. You gave to the Lord and you didn't do it begrudgingly. You did it with the right attitude. It was just as understood. It was a given. I understood that role. I understood what was supposed to be done. I understood how to step into that thing. Dads, you take that. They couldn't go up empty. They had to go up with an offering. Take your Bible. Go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse number 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So you teach your children that, especially your sons. You teach them that. Son, you get to make it some money someday, and you get out there, you need to honor God. Amen. When they start working that little part-time job or this and another, son, you know why you're able to do this? You know why you got health? You know why you got breath? You know why you're able to do that? God's good to you. Amen. God's allowing you to have this, and you need to honor Him back with something. And teach Him that principle. Teach Him that. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Y'all listen. With all the ungodliness that goes on, be careful about the devil provoking you to handle a thing in the wrong way. Be careful. Because listen, you may express your righteous indignation, and amen that you have it, and you may feel a little better for venting, but did you help that person come to Christ? Such were some of you. Such were some of you. And it lists the sodomite. It lists the feminine. It lists the abuse themselves of mankind, the adultery. It lists them. Yes, sir. Such were some of you. And somebody had to take some time with firmness, but with compassion and with the Word of God. Be careful in how you handle things. You may vent and feel better, but did that soul get help that could have got saved? And if you have some Baptist tells you it don't happen, well, the book says it does happen. It does. Such were some of you. They need help by the Word of God and the power of God. In a right, holy, controlled manner. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. As a Bible-believing Baptist, knowing where the Word of God is, there's a heavy responsibility laid upon us and a heavy accountability. Too often, things are handled by the saints the way the world handles them. Brethren, you have the power of the Spirit of God upon you and the Word of God. And we're out there, brethren, to help somebody escape the captivity and the bonds of sin and the devil. There's a way to do it. Never compromising. Never. No. Never compromising. Listen, never with an attitude of easy on sin. Never. Firm and compassion, and with the guidance of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Look here, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. God loveth a cheerful giver. Teach your sons. Teach them to give. Teach them to give with the right heart. And how God loves a cheerful giver. Set the example. Take your Bible, look at Deuteronomy 16 again. Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. It says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. You know, I know there are some brethren, and that's fine. That's between them and God. It's fine. There's some brethren that say, well, you know, tithing was an Old Testament principle, and so, you know, New Testament giving didn't have anything to do with that. Whoa. Listen, tithing was even before the law. Abraham tithed before the law. So, brethren, the tithe predates the law. That's the listen, tithing is just where you ought to start. Where you go from that ought to be something between you and the Lord, because you love Him and you get what God's mind on your giving. Get a mind with God. But tithing, that tenth, should be your start. Now, honestly, folks. So, listen. But even under the law, giving beyond the tithe was as you were able, according to how the Lord had blessed you. Look what it says. Every man shall give as he... Now, the tithe was required. But every man shall give as he is able. This is above that. According to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given you. Tithing is a baseline principle that predates the law. Outside of that, the Lord should be honored in accordance with your ability to give and in how the Lord's blessed you. Seriously. Brethren. Giving, I mean, brethren, look here. You know how we do it around here. We don't even pass the plate. Put that thing over there. I'll leave between you and God. Almost 30 years now, God took care of it that kind of way. And I still believe that. And I ain't gonna harp on that thing. Because if I'm the one that's behind your giving, then it means, listen, if you do it just to shut me up, you're not gonna reap anything from it. The key is getting with God.
Amen.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. One of the things that concerns me, the Bible says giving should not be of necessity. You ever looked up that word in the dictionary? If you look up the word necessity in the dictionary, it means by coercion or force or such as that. Brethren, I don't understand it. I don't understand. Brethren, look here. The Bible says giving should be cheerfully, not a necessity. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand doeth. The Bible gives the principle in Corinthians that if you have it, give it. If you don't, don't worry about it. But I'll be, you go to these meetings, and it's like hands go up for 50, 100, 500. And if you don't have it, we'll pledge it. Now, brethren, listen. Well, Brother Dawson, you see, well, and that's the problem. I do see. And I'm looking at my Bible, and I'm seeing that, and I'm seeing what is done, and it don't matter who does it, but I'm seeing what my Bible says, and that ain't what my Bible says. Don't fall prey to something just because it becomes the accepted usage. What does your Bible say to you, in honesty, when you read it? And if you're reading something, and you're like, that feels funny. But brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so and doctor so-and-so does it, and so it must be, what did your book say? That's not how it's supposed to be done. Oh, now, you raise funds. But so do Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists, and so do all that. I mean, they raise funds too. Well, yeah, but it got, whoa. So, okay, you go to New Guinea, you got Seventh-day Adventists, you've got Mormons, you've got charismatic, you got all kinds of people over there. And they everyone will tell you God got them there. Yeah. Just because it's Baptist, God got them there too. No, some people just, you know what, they can move the crowds. It don't necessarily mean God did it. Just because it has Baptists don't mean God did it. They just did just like the Seventh-day Adventists, or they moved the crowds, or they did this and another, they got, now come on, I'm telling you. Be careful. Let that book rule and reign by the grace of God in every area. All right? But it'll cost you. I'm going to tell you that right now. Listen, how should the giving be done? Not of necessity, but cheerfully. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Not of necessity. Words mean something. Look what necessity means. I told you before. I can guarantee it. I could maybe say down in Louisiana, guarantee there's been an individual or more than one individual sitting in a meeting somewhere, and you know what? I'll preach, put me down 50. I got 100. All right, here. And there's some poor guy sitting over there, and he ain't got it. But you know what? The pressure's on. Oh, and listen, save it. Save it with the stuff. Well, he shouldn't feel intimidated. You ain't dealing with reality. That guy's sitting there, and he's feeling the pressure. And he's feeling it heavy, and the devil's breathing down his back too. And he ain't got it. So next thing you know, he's sweating, right, and he's standing up. 75, right here. He'll hand it for 75. His wife sits there. Bob, shut up. He gives her a little poke on the leg, right? Shut up, right? So he's sitting there through it, right? And they get in the car. Honey, you know, she's got a doctor appointment. What do you want me to do, huh? Try to faith. Try to believe God. All right, huh? Get my back. Man, I'm sorry. I don't know. Oh, it's wonderful, man. There's so much joy there. The Lord Jesus didn't do that.
No, sir.
The Lord didn't produce that. He didn't produce that. You tell me don't go on, son. It goes on. It goes on. All right. And you know why? And yet the Lord said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand doeth. But here we are. You tell me that don't put... But it'll raise funds, honey. It'll raise funds. Well, it may do it. And I said, I mean, the Lord's in it. I'm just telling you, folks, look here. Be careful. Don't you do that to nobody. Don't you put that on nobody. Don't you put that kind of... If the Spirit of God is not able to move a heart, don't think that you can. You may get somebody to do something. How's it going to stack up at the judgment seat of Christ? Look at this. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You tell me how you can fit pledging in with that. It blows my mind. Look, if you first a willing mind, I want to. So you got to have the want to. I really want to do this. If you don't. But if you want to, okay, a willing mind. It is accepted according to that a man hath. Not according to that he hath not. I understand that. There's a New Testament principle. I'd like to do this. I've got it in my pocket. I've got it in the account. I can do it. I'm going to do it. I'd like to do it, but I don't have it, but I'll commit anyway, and hopefully it'll be there. Okay. Okay. Call it what you want it. But my book says, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. Take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. But Brother Doss, the things that get done, I'm sure they do, but how will it pan out someday? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Dads, look here. Teach your children. Teach your sons. Teach them that they need to give. Teach them that there is a biblical starting point. And then tell them that, you know what, then they need to get with God and pray about matters. And then you think about how God has blessed them. And let their giving be accordingly between them and God. Let it be accordingly between them and between God. You just teach them the principle and you set the example. And by the way, let me say this. Look here. Though, you know, we don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. The Lord Jesus gave us that. But your children, your sons, your family needs to know, they need to see and see the principle of you giving so they will learn how to honor the Lord. Right. They need to see that. In other words, you're setting the example. Not me showing somebody how much I'm, not that kind of thing. But let them see the example that you are giving and the principles involved. They need to know it. Go back, Deuteronomy 16. You know, according to the Bible says there in verse 17, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee. Wow. Well, let me ask you something before I get to the next point real quick. But what can you give and how has the Lord blessed you? That's between you and God. But you need to ask yourself those things. What can I do? What can I do? You know what the Lord said about when she anointed him? He said she's done what she could. The Lord's not worried about you doing what you can't do, but what can you do? And then how has the Lord blessed you? How's the Lord blessed you? That's one to think about for sure. All right, real quick. Take your Bible. Go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Watch this. When they would take their men children and go up those three times a year, and the gal stayed home, let me tell you what else it did. Look at Exodus 34, verse 23. Exodus 24, 23. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. How about that? See, Brother Doss, what are you talking about? Look, by being obedient to that, guess what? Look what a teaching illustration. It would teach the family faith and trust. For when they would go up and be away from the property, the Lord would make sure their property would be protected in the absence of the males. Yeah, isn't that something? You think that would be something they could always relate to and fall back on? They could see the hand of the Lord. They could see that promise and how it bore out. Man, that would produce faith. That would help them. Just that very act. God said, 3 times in a year, all the male children are going to go up. Well, man, what's going to happen then? Because all the males are going up. And again, I'm not saying sometimes the females no doubt did go up. It's just they weren't required to. The men were required to. Well, who's going to mind the house? Who's going to protect the property? Who's going to? God says, it's going to be okay. When you go up those 3 times a year in obedience to me, nobody's going to want your stuff. Yep. Nobody's going to want your property. I'll make sure of it. Everything will be fine. Well, you know, the Lord's got you covered every way you try to sneak out or finagle out of the will of God. Well, you know, I mean, hey, I've been watching some of those across the river there, that tribe, you know, that those Moabites over there, you know, I think when I'm going, you know, things been looking kind of heat. I might better stay here. Lord says, no, I got you covered on that one. They won't want it. They might want to get back, whatever like that. You'll have to take your stand as you need to, but they're not going to want it while you're gone. It ain't going to happen. I'll make sure of that. Listen, and what that would do is produce, it would strengthen their faith and have something to build upon. Brother Joe's saying about counting those milestones. That would be milestones. That would be something to look back on and see what God had did and it increased their faith and trust. Take your Bible quickly. Go to Genesis 35. Genesis 35. Verse 5. Genesis 35, verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Let me tell you something, brethren. There is such safety in the will of God. I'm not saying that God won't at times lift the hedge and allow, but if God lifts the hedge and allows the enemy to do something, it's in His will. You ain't got to fret it. You can trust that thing. There is safety. Look, they got themselves right in Genesis 35, and the nations, they had a terror on them that they didn't know where it was coming from. They couldn't have explained it themselves, but they just laid off. They didn't mess with them. It's the same kind of thing when Israel would go up and obey the Lord. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me... I'm sorry, I was in Psalms. Pardon me, y'all. I'll get over that myself. For a minute I was wondering, what in the world was I going to? Proverbs 16, verse 7. The Bible says this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. They might not, listen, they might not love you, but they'll be at peace with you. When a man's ways please the Lord. I bet you some of you may have seen that at times at work or whatever. You please the Lord. There may be somebody that really can't stand you. But you know what? They just have to stay at peace with you though. They're just, I mean, God's able to do that. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now I'm going to tell you something, child of God. If you behave on a job site just like the world does. If your attitudes are just like the world's are. Even in a so-called right manner. That's the problem with a lot of conservative talk shows and everything. They may have a more correct stance on an issue, but not in the way they handle it. You can't emulate their language, their talk. You can't emulate the way that they... You can't do that as a Christian. You can't do that. Even if they are correct on the issue, the way they handle that issue is often unbiblical. You're to be different. You're to be different. You're to stand out. You are to be different. And so look here, if you're handling things on a job like anybody else, though, and you're kind of, look, you maybe you take a right stance on an issue, but your attitudes sometimes are just as bad. Now forget that. But when a man's ways please the Lord, and you please God not just by coming down to the right side of an issue, you please God with how you handle that issue, with your actions, with your mouth, with the way that you are, seriously. Then when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And finally, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you know what that was? When they would do that 3 times a year, that's faith. That's faith. It was faith because God said, "If when you go up, your enemies won't, they won't desire your land." So God said something. God said, do something. God said, do it this way. And I'll make sure of this. So that's where faith entered in. Will they trust God? Will they step out, do what they're supposed to do in the way God said to do it, and trust Him to take care of the details? He said He would. And that's where faith stepped in. And they honored God, and God honored that faith. Y'all look here. There are given to you and I as believers exceedingly great and precious promises. Multitudes of them that you and I can lay hold of. Our Savior said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Those necessary, needful things. There's a lot of things that God has told us. He's told us what to do. He's told us how to do. If we will step out in faith and trust Him, God will honor that faith. He did with them. He will with us. And that's how our children, especially our sons, learn how they are supposed to lead their families one day. Taking that time. You say, preacher, I don't feel like I've done that like I ought to do. Okay. Tell the Lord you're sorry about it. Just acknowledge it. And you know what? Pull the boys aside and say, you know what, fellas, I feel like I could have done a better job, and I want to do a better job about it. And some things I think we want to start doing this way or that way. And just be real. Just be honest. Ladies, maybe say, you know what? Too often I just get impatient and snap rather than talking to them. Okay. Tell the Lord that. Then sit down with them. Tell them, you know what? Mom's been a little impatient with things. But Lord's checked me on that, and we'll do better at that. And step up to it. Step up to it. Don't get down. The Lord corrects you to help you. The devil tries to rub your face in it and leave you with no hope. No, no, no. Receive the correction. Do something about it. But it means taking time. And you are in a day and you're in an hour to where, just all kind of things come down the pipeline. That's for sure. And as much as you try and should try to keep certain things away from your children, exposed to, rightfully so, yet there are things that are going to slip through the cracks and they're going to be exposed to out there, and you can't do a thing about it. It's just the way it's going to be at times. Take that time with them. Take that time. Build up a trust that they can ask you questions. They can be real with you. They can be honest with you. Help them to understand the differences that God set up for them as young men or as young women. And to be what God would have them to be. And set that example. So that then when they, listen, so that when they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they can more easily step into that role. God can do all things, but let me tell you something. It's a harder deal. Not that it can't be done, and God does do it. But it's a rough deal, man, when somebody gets saved at 30 and they got to learn to be a man. Or they get saved at 30 and got to learn to be a woman like she's supposed to be. See, you bring them up right, and they get saved, and they can, boom, step into that thing and stroll. You understand? Because listen, salvation doesn't take the place of what God meant a home rearing to bring. You understand that? Yep. Takes care of eternity. Takes care of the matter of sin. And I'm not saying God can't give you a raising. He can. But see, you can take your children and you can chasten them. Look, take you springtime, right? You want to prune something? Take a little buds with your fingers. You get a big tree out here, you can still prune it. Whoa, 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 whoa. Bigger equipment. Harder job.
Yep, that's right.
I've read of trees that are let go. You can still prune them. But it's going to take chainsaws. It's going to take scaffolding. When it's done young, it's a lot easier. You can't be lazy. It takes time. But it's a little bit easier that way.
Yes,
God can do it. You've got to bring out a big equipment. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Father, I beg you, Lord. Any way, Lord, any way that I got in the way this morning, I apologize for, and work around me. Father, work around any slip up of mine. And Father, just bless your word and the principles that in accordance with your word that we looked at this morning. Help us to take it to heart. And help us to make the application where and as needed. And dear Lord, I pray if there's anyone here or listening on the recording, Lord, that don't know you, that's never been born again. Lord, reveal yourself to them. Get on their trail, Lord. Don't let them go. And bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, in whose name we pray and ask this. Amen.